All right, if you take your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews chapter number 12, please. Hebrews chapter number 12. We are going to start this fifth and final warning passage that is in the book of Hebrews. We have looked at the four previous warning passages. And tonight, with verse number 25, he starts his last one. And I also believe that he is wrapping up his argument in these verses, verse 25 down through verse number 30, verse number 29, because in chapter number 13, he's just kind of wrapping up the book. But as you've heard me preach, he's talked about how Christ is better than the angels, how Christ is better than Moses, how Christ's sacrifice is superior to the sacrifice in the Old Testament, how Christ's priesthood is better than the priesthood in the Old Testament. And so when he comes to this warning passages, he's putting it all in a bow and he's wrapping it up. And so in verse number 25, I want to begin to read that verse. It says, "See that ye." Now, it's important to understand who the ye he's talking to. He's talking to you and he's talking to me and he's saying, hey, see to it that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who is the him of the passage? The him of the passage is Jesus. So he's telling us right very plainly. He says, make sure that you don't refuse Jesus because he's speaking. And then he goes on and he says, for if they, and I believe there he's talking about the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. He says, if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not. Now notice this next word, we, talking about us again. How shall not we escape if we turn away from him, Jesus, that speaketh from heaven? Now, next week I will cover verse number 26 down through verse number 29, but I just want to take verse number 25 tonight and speak to you on this subject, hearing the right voice. Hearing the right voice. Now, we are living in a media-driven society, and there we are bombarded with opinions about every aspect of our lives. You used to be able to watch the news, and if you watched the network news or even the local news, you could at least hear about the facts of the case. But you know that's no longer the issue in the news. When the news is given, they are giving it in a slanted position. They take some of the facts, and they use only those facts that support their political position. Now, both sides of the aisle does that. They give you an opinion that's based upon their opinion. Now, about 30 years ago, talk radio started, and there was a guy that really made it popular, a guy by the name of Rush Limbaugh. I used to listen to him for a number of years, and for 3 hours a day, he would share his opinion about all of the political things that was going on in this country. He really dominated the airways. But after he became popular, then others came along. There was people like Dave Ramsey and Clark Howard that would stay on the radio 3 hours a day, and they would talk to you about finances, and they would give their opinion about how you were to spend your money and save your money and invest your money. They were giving their opinion to us. For a lot of years, I used to listen to Dr. Laura, and for 3 hours a day, she would talk about relationship issues, and people would call in and share their problems, and what she would do is that she would share her opinion on how you were to fix those things. Well, now we have a new stream, and it's called podcast. How many of you listened to something on a podcast? Does anybody? Yeah, see, it's usually the younger generation, you know. But you know, for a little bit of money, you can share your opinion to the world on a podcast. The other day, I thought, I wonder what are the top categories in podcasts. Well, here they are. The number one category is comedy. People want to laugh, and so they can find their favorite comedian on that. The second one is news. Now, if you were listening to the news this week, you saw a news story that it stayed in the news all week about a guy on a podcast that attacked a liberal doctor that had said some things on a liberal network, and they were saying, you know what, even though it was a podcast, it is becoming almost as important as the news, because a lot of people get their news not from a network, but from a podcast. It is the second best category. The third one is true crime. The next one is sports. People want to listen to someone that will talk to them about health and fitness. People will listen to religion and faith. There are a few preachers that I listen to on a podcast. Some will listen to political commentators on the podcast. Self-help and production is the eighth one, investigative journalism. And the tenth one is finances. But you can find whatever opinion you want to. You can download it and you can listen to it at your leisure. There are literally thousands of podcasts. Well, over the last several years, celebrities have started to chime in, and sports stars have chimed in, and they want to share their opinion on how you ought to live your life and upon the social issues of the day. Now, if all of that is not enough, we have what is known as Facebook and Instagram. So anytime you want to share your opinion, anytime you want everybody else to know what you think and believe, all you have to do is pull out your phone or go to your computer and type in whatever your opinion is and send it, and it will go to your two or three friends that you have. Here is one thing that I know for sure, is that our world does not lack for people's opinion. Our world does not lack for people's opinion, but here is what our world lacks. Our world lacks in the discernment to listen to the right opinions and to listen to the right voices. When you come to the book of Hebrews, one of the things or one of the issues that the book of Hebrews is addressing is that the Hebrew church was getting to a point where they were not willing to listen to God. You say, I don't know if I buy that. I want you to hold your finger there, and I want you to go back to Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1, because I want you to notice how the writer of Hebrews starts out this book. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now the emphasis here is that in the Old Testament, when he would get ready to deliver a message, he would give that message to a prophet such as Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Amos or Habakkuk, and then they would take that message and they would give it to the people. Now the reason that we know that it was from God, because over and over in the Old Testament, when you're reading those prophets, you will see these words, the Lord said, the Lord said. The Lord said, and so when Ezekiel was preaching, he was giving the message of God. But when you come to verse number 2, he says, in these last days, the days in which we are living in, he's saying that God has spoken to us by his, now what's that word? His Son. God is speaking to us today through Jesus Christ. When Jesus speaks, when Jesus says something, it is God speaking. And then if you know in these next verses, he tells us, I believe, why we are to listen to Jesus and the authority that Jesus has to speak. He says he is the heir of all things. Jesus is over all things. He controls all things. He is in charge of all things. And hey, what I have found out in my life, whoever is in charge has the right to speak. That's what he's saying. Jesus is the heir of all things. And then he goes on and he says, he is the creator by whom also he made the world. Jesus has made the world in which we live. And so that gives him the right, that gives him the authority to speak. Verse number 3, he says, who is in the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. He is saying here, when Jesus is speaking, God is speaking. He is the exact person of God the Father. Jesus and God the Father is the same person. And so when Jesus is speaking, he is speaking the words of God the Father. And then he says, he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. Hey, he is keeping this all together. And it's not going to fly apart until Jesus speaks. And then he goes on and he says this, when he hath by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus gave his life for you and I. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And then in verse number 4, he says, hey, being so much better than the angels. And then he goes in and he talks about how Jesus is better. But see, God says in the first verse, or in verse number 2, he says, you know what? Jesus is speaking, God is speaking today through Jesus. So he's setting it up. He's saying, hey, you need to listen to Jesus. You go to chapter number 3. In chapter number 3, we dealt with some of these verses, but I want you to notice what the theme is. In verse number 7, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. See, he's embellishing upon this theme. Hey, you need to hear the voice of Jesus. In verse number 15, he says it once again, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You see, there's an emphasis. I want you to hear the voice of God. In chapter 4, in verse number 7, of the last part of that verse, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So he's saying over and over again, hey, I want you to hear the voice of Jesus. Now, one of the reasons why I know that it was a problem is that when you go to chapter number 5 and you look at verse number 11, this is one of those warning passages that I preached on. But I want you to notice what he's warning them of. Verse number 11, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He's saying, if you remember what we talked about, they had become lazy in their hearing. They had got to the point where they didn't want to think while they were listening. They didn't want to meditate. They didn't want to ponder anything. They didn't want to be challenged in their faith. They wanted something that was smooth. They wanted something that was easy because they had become lazy in their hearing. And so as he begins to wrap up the book of Hebrews, as he's submitting his final argument as to why Christ is better, he starts off verse number 25 with this admonition. He says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. He's saying, you know what? Jesus is speaking, and make sure that you are listening to him. As I was pondering this week, I asked myself this question. Why would anyone not listen to the voice of Jesus? Why would anyone say, you know what? I don't want to listen to him. Especially when you read the scriptures. John 10:10, the Bible says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus says, you know what? I've come so that you can have enjoyment and so that you can have happiness and so that your life can be blessed and so that you can have a life of satisfaction. Why in the world would somebody say, nah, I don't think I want to listen to that advice? When you look in the book of Luke and Jesus is in the synagogue and he gets the Bible and he opens up and he reads a passage out of Isaiah that says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus talking about himself, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what? That's what we need. That's what this world needs. Why in the world would we not listen to Jesus? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 25 says this, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Jesus is our advocate. He is our intercessor. He is constantly making intercession for us. He's constantly arguing on our behalf. Why would we not listen to him? John chapter 16 and verse number 24, the Bible says this, hereto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Over and over in the New Testament, Jesus says, you know what? If you'll just ask, I'll give you. If you'll just ask, you shall receive. Why in the world would we say, I don't want to listen to that? Can I give you what I believe is my ideal, and I'm going to back it up with Scripture? The reason many people don't want to listen to Jesus because his voice is powerful, convicting, authoritative, and there is no argument to it. I want to give that to you again. When Jesus speaks, it's powerful, it's convicting, it's authoritative, and there is no argument to His world, and you know, to His word. And you know what? We live in a day and age where we want to have an argument, we want to have an out, and we don't always want to do exactly what Jesus says. And so if it comes straight for Him, we know that we're in trouble. But if it will come from a man, we might think, I can argue with him. I can say, you know what? Well, that's just your opinion. I want to give you an example of this. Now, if you look from about verse number 14 down through verse number 25, in this text, he's making a contrast between what took place on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament and what is going to take place on Mount Zion. He talks about how God has given the law, and now in on Mount Zion, the law is put into our hearts. But in verse number 18, he says this of chapter 12. He says, for ye are not come unto the mount, he's talking about Mount Sinai there, that may be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Go with me to Exodus chapter number 19. Because here is what he's talking about in those verses. Exodus chapter number 19. We know that God is fixing to give the law to Moses. Moses is fixing to go up on the mountain and visit with God. But before he does that, God is going to come down upon that mount. And I want to pick up our reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, and Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. As you know, those are my favorite verses when it talks about loud. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of the furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and wilder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. That must have been a terrifying scene. I can remember growing up in Coleman, and every once in a while, we would have one of those big thunder boomers that would come through, and the clouds would just get dark. And I can remember as a young guy just getting scared, because it was either going to be a hailstorm or something. There was going to be something out of that cloud. And my youngest daughter is petrified of storms. I'm telling you, as a kid growing up, if there was a cloud in the sky, she was pacing back and forth and watching the news. And you know what? Here, God's coming down. And notice there is lightning, there's thunderings, there's darkness, and there's this trumpet. And God is going to speak, and God is speaking. I want you to look over in the next chapter, in chapter number 19. The Bible says, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. You see, you can argue with me. And even though I can stand behind this pulpit and I can preach to you the Word of God and I can preach to you a message that I believe that God has laid upon my heart, it's easy for you to say, well, he's off on a tangent or you know what, I disagree with his interpretation of the Scripture and we can go right on down the lines. But I'm telling you, when God speaks and when Jesus speaks, there is no argument to that. And he does it in power, he does it with authority, and he does it with conviction. And so when you come to Hebrews chapter number 12, as he wraps it up, he is going to say, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Right quickly, I want to give you a few things that I believe that Jesus is saying and that he is very clear on. Number one, Jesus is clear on salvation. You see, religion is not very clear on salvation. Everybody that has a little bit of religion, they'll have a different take up on salvation. But you know what? Jesus is really clear. I want you to go with me to John chapter number 3, and we're going to look at several of these passages. I want you to, most of them are going to be around John. But you know, in John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came to him, and Jesus is going to make salvation really clear to Nicodemus. Notice what he says in verse number 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You see, that's really clear. It's not something that I said. It's not something that I came up with. It is something that Jesus speaking, and Jesus says this, hey, there is only one way to be saved, and he spoke to it in a clear way. Ye must be born again in order to enter into heaven. There are many other passages that I could take you and show you tonight, but Jesus is not muddy on this issue. He speaks very clearly. He speaks with authority. He speaks with power, and we should listen to what Jesus says on salvation. You see, if a Jehovah's Witness knocks on my door, and they're maybe smarter than I am about the Bible, and maybe they are more persuasive in their arguments, I know one thing, no matter what they say, I know of a certainty that Jesus is clear on salvation. Ye must be born again. The second thing that I believe that Jesus is speaking, and he's very clear, is that on the ideal of sanctification. When you get saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you are eternally secure. But after that, you are to grow and to become more like Christ. The word sanctification means that we are set apart. We are to be holy and we are to be becoming more like Jesus every single day. John chapter number 17, Jesus weighs in on this issue. Jesus is speaking here. These are not my words. These are not Brother Chris's words. These are the words of Jesus and what Jesus says about sanctification. Verse number 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify. That word sanctify means to set apart. Sanctify them through how? Thy truth. Thy word is true. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. This has been one of the most misunderstood things of my Christian life. Everybody wants to fight over the issue of sanctification. What does it mean with holiness? What does it mean to be holy? Should I be different or should I be the same as everybody else around me? But I'm telling you, Jesus is very clear that as God's people, we are to be different. We're to think different. We are to talk different. Hey, when somebody is around us, it should not be long before they say, you know what, there's something different about them. And they might say, hey, what's different about you? And we can tell them, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And see, the more of the Word that we know, the further in sanctification we will go, because he says, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. Jesus is clear. Hey, when it comes to service, I believe Jesus is very clear. And if you would go with me back to John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13, you're familiar with this passage. It's where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And notice with me in verse number 4. He, talking about Jesus, riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said, or answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto the Lord, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You see, Jesus is clear. He came to serve. He came to minister. But you know what? There's something that's going on in Christianity today that's absolutely crazy. Because most people look at the church as what the church can offer them. It's never meant that way. This church is never meant for you to come just what we can offer you. The church is meant for you to come and serve. For you to come and minister. For you to see a need. And that need might not be popular. That need might not be somebody that pats you on the back. It might be as lowly as walking across these grounds and seeing a piece of paper and picking it up. Because you know what? This is God's house. It might be walking in these auditoriums and with all these chairs, and they get wacky-doodle every once in a while. And sometimes, you know what? You might see, you know what? That chair is out of line. You know what? I'm going to put that chair back in line. It might be looking around and seeing someone that is not here, and you have a relationship with them and you know them, and just picking up a phone and maybe sending them a text and just saying, you know what, we care about you and we miss you. Now, being the music director, I'm going to preach on this while I have a chance. It might be some of you coming and singing in the choir. Amen. I'll go on because I get in trouble if I share my true opinions. But you know what? The church is about serving. Jesus was clear on that. And if you say, oh, it's not about what I can do, it's about what I can get, guess what? You're wrong. Because Jesus was clear. He's clear on sacrifice. Hold your finger in John and go back with me to Luke. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Verse number 23, and he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In Matthew 20 and verse number 28, the Bible says, Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Once again in John 10 and verse number 17 through 18, Jesus says this, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it from me. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I don't like sacrifice any more than you do. It's not fun to sacrifice. It's not fun to give up something that you really want to do. But you know, Jesus did. And he says, hey, you need to do it. The last one. Jesus is clear on surrender and submission. I want you to turn with me to Luke 22, and this will be the last place that you have to turn. Luke 22, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying, he's carried three of his disciples. Let's just begin reading with verse number 39. And he came out and he went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and he prayed. And notice what Jesus is praying. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There's a lot of times in my life that I've really fallen short of that verse. Because I like my will. I like to do what I want to do. But Jesus says, hey, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to surrender. You need to submit to the will of God for your life. Back in Hebrews, he says, hey, you need to listen to the one that's speaking. Hey, if they didn't escape back in the Old Testament when God was speaking on this earth, you're not going to escape. The Word of God is full of the words of Jesus. And you know what? If you're going to have a blessed life, you better listen. I don't say that to you, I say that to me. Because when I hear the words of Jesus and I apply them to my life, then he gives blessings. And when I say, I ain't listening today, I'm going to do my own thing, hardships always come. In our world today, you can get any opinion that you want. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You can find somebody that will tell you that it's okay. But I'm telling you, the voice that I need to listen to is the voice of Jesus. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight, and Lord, we're thankful for your words. We're thankful that you care in us to give us direction in our life, to give us guidance, to give us counsel, to give us wisdom, to give us advice. And Lord, I can stand in this pulpit tonight, and as a testimony, I can say that every time in my life that I absolutely willingly and knowingly refuse to listen to your voice, it always brought heartache and it always brought pain. Not necessarily from a discipline standpoint, but from a standpoint where God wanted me to know, hey, it's best to listen to me. And God, I know that every time that I have taken your word and applied it, you've brought blessings. God, maybe tonight there may be those that are here that would say, you know what, I'm not listening to the voice of God. Not listen to the one that's speaking. God, maybe they would want to come and get that right tonight. God, I pray that you'd move amongst us tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you, you come.